And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight, Steve Bozell is on our show. Mr. Bozell heads a group called the Traditional Marriage Advocacy Group, and he'll be talking about how gay marriage ultimately will be humiliating to straight people because they dress better and their weddings are going to look a whole lot sharper. Tony Neal, the distinguished television producer, will be on to talk about his new idea for a TV show, White Eye for the Black Guy, and how white guys, you know, respectfully, could teach black guys how to balance checkbooks. That's coming up tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. Thanks to the Dennis Miller show people, Dennis himself, for having me on, along with Paul Rodriguez and Steve Moore. The show's on tonight at 9 o'clock Pacific, 12 o'clock Eastern, and, you know, you tune it in and see what you think, but I had a very good time. One of the things that I like to do when I do a show like that, these panel shows, and you've seen them, and Dennis's show is not a panel show, but he has a segment called, what is it called, The Varsity? The Varsity, is a lot of times when I watch those, it looks as if people are just doing auditions to get their own talk shows. They're just kind of climbing over top of each other, and you don't really hear anybody. So I just lay back and I wait to just take a shot here and there, you know. So I got a couple of shots in, but with Paul on, it took a while for me to get the shots in. But Paul Rodriguez is a great guy, funny man, fan of the show, which we were gratified to hear. And let's see, what other self-serving stuff can I say? Oh, yeah, did I mention I'm going to be on Dennis Miller tonight at 9 o'clock Pacific, midnight Eastern. Show looks great. He's got a live studio audience. They're lively. They're crazy. A few of them were from Minnesota, but that's, you know, every, you know, silver lining has a dark cloud. And I'm kidding. First anniversary of our war on Iraq today. A 1,000-pound bomb blew up in a Baghdad hotel. The terrorists have got us on the run. Spain pulling out of the coalition. Other governments wavering. And it looks as if we're in over our heads. These terrorists are tough, baby. We can't fight them with Tomahawk missiles, and we can't fight them with guns and all, whatever that Spaniard said. That Spaniard and that new PM they got over there in Spain. He's gonna, what's his bright idea? Here's his bright idea. Let's return to what we were doing the last 60 years in Europe. Let's get more police on it. Let's stop the guy with the bomb getting on the train as opposed to stopping him with the bomb as he gets on the plane in Damascus. Let's just hunker it back to the homeland. More metal detectors, more bomb-sniffing dogs, more lines at airports. I thought we didn't like that. I thought we wanted to do away with that. I thought we wanted to get them where they were living, to get them right there in their filthy, dirty, rotten, rat-infested nest, and wipe them out with a flamethrower. But apparently now the American people, ever so gradually, not as radically as in Europe, but ever so gradually shifting over to the concept that, well, you know, we don't need to be over in Iraq. Let's go after them. And like the guy I was talking to last night, let's go after Al-Qaeda, like in the Philippines, like in Pakistan. Excuse me. Can I just raise my hand and ask a question, teacher? Are you saying we get permission to invade the Philippines? Is that, or permission to invade Pakistan? Or what are you asking? I thought what we did in Iraq was to get rid of one of the major rogue states sponsoring terrorism. But ha! There wasn't a connection with Al-Qaeda. There were no WMDs. Hey, let's just for a minute put that aside, shall we? Let's talk about this one. Now, if you don't think this is a reason to blow Saddam Hussein right out of the saddle, then okay. All right, then I understand exactly where you're coming from. Iraqi intelligence plotted to murder a former president of the United States, George Bush Sr. We know this for a fact, corroborated by international intelligence. Is that a good enough reason to take out a regime? No? All right, then I know where you're coming from. Then really, in your book, nothing's worth fighting for. No wonder I got booed in Aspen when I said I would pull a gun on anybody that came into my home and threatened my wife and daughter, even though I'm a Democrat. I got booed for that. And why? Because violence is never the answer, Phil. Well, I got big fat news for you. Violence sometimes is a damn good answer. And as I've said before, and I'll say it again, just ask anybody that came out of Buchenwald, Treblinka, Dachau, Auschwitz. Ask them if violence was an answer to their problems. I think that they would agree. Taking out a few Germans, machine gunning a few of them SS, that might have been a real good idea. Just a real nice topping on a day. The cherry on the whipped cream, as it were. But today, 1 year after the invasion of Iraq, we're wavering. The world's wavering. Bomb goes off. The terrorists have got us on the run. Look what they did in Madrid. Who knows? The sky's the limit. Lex Luthor there, a.k.a. Osama bin Laden, without the bald head and the nice suit, is sitting there rubbing his hands together with glee and talking to his minions and saying, well, if it affected the vote in Spain, it could affect the vote in Britain. And by God, you know it'll affect the vote in America, because you know what Al-Qaeda thinks of you, don't you? They think you're a weak, sniveling mass of Americans. They think that we are soft. They think we've always been soft. You scare the Americans, man, and they'll run just to protect their ATM cards, their bank accounts, and make sure that their day pass to Disneyland is in a secure place, and they'll just give you anything, because that's what they think of Americans. A weak, degenerate generation of softies, basically. Now, what's going on in Iraq? I hear a lot of mouths, lip service, mouth music being played by, for instance, our fine-feathered friend, Mr. Kerry, saying, and again, I want to qualify, I am a Democrat. I actually said that today on Dennis's show, and people were, I get it, man, I understand. You're like a Democrat who has sort of different views on different things. We understand. Some crowd just say that, and, what? What do you mean? Well, you're in favor of war and everything, and I understand. Yeah, well, see, I really pick and choose the arguments. Well, that doesn't make any sense. The men and women that are in Iraq right now desperately need our support. Desperately. We're not giving it to them. We're sniveling and crying in the newspapers about this. You got a guy that's running for president who's trying to back up the fact that he did not vote to enable those soldiers with equipment because it had a little pork barrel politics. It had a little line item in there that he wished hadn't been in there, so he just voted against it. You know something, Senator Kerry, with all due respect, when the men and the women need to be supplied, maybe you can just go ahead and you can get around a little piece of pork in the bill. Maybe you can just sort of, you can't have it your way all the time, man. I thought politics was the art of compromise. And if there's a bill that's going to supply our troops, and maybe it's got a little line in there about how they're going to, George Bush is some company that George Bush knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who runs it, and you don't dig that, so you vote against the whole shooting match. So some guy over in Iraq suffering because you are standing on your very, very questionable principles. Those guys over there and those women over there need our support so desperately, and all we can do is second guess. Look at what they're up against. Do you know what a country that stood firm in its initial resolve to root these pieces of garbage out of their nests, what we could accomplish? But not today. No, not today. Not post-Madrid. 9/11 propelled us into the future in a lot of ways. Madrid is dragging us right back to September the 10th. So let's retreat. And let's hope and pray, and maybe if we send him a big box of chocolates, maybe the 2-pound job from C's, Osama will miss us this coming, whatever the hell he's going to do, like the July the 4th. So, and also, Kerry's cozying up to the veterans. I'm going to ask you a question, the thing that really drives me utterly insane. How do you say you support veterans when you demoralize and you delegitimize and you impugn the things that the soldiers are doing in the first place? It's impossible to say you support the troops if you don't support what they're doing. Impossible. And people that say they do that are lying sacks. People that say they do that are hypocrites. You say, yeah, I love the troops and I support them. That's why I want to bring them home. What, so they can sit around and throw knives at a Confederate flag, play cards, drink JD? What? They're doing their job right now. Kerry, he's a veteran's veteran, right? He wants to support all kinds, a bill of rights, a medical bill of rights for the veterans. I agree with that. I think we should. I think we should have 20 years ago. Kerry's been in the Senate since 1984. All of a sudden, he's getting smart about veterans benefits. Where were you, dude? Other than, sampling another bottle of ketchup. I don't think there's anything ever been truer said about a guy when they say he has strong beliefs, he just doesn't have them for very long. That's why I ain't, as this Democrat, is not going to vote for that guy. I'll hold my nose and vote for Bush. At least the guy's been there. He had to learn it on the run. He had to learn what to do in the face of something that was so horrific that people are still traumatized by it. He had to figure out how to bail out an airline industry, how to get the stock market back up, how to make sure that the people get back into the malls and shop, how to make sure that people are feeling confident that we're doing something for them. Bush had to make the rules up as he went because nobody had ever been through it before. But along comes all these other guys, man, and they got all the bright ideas now, 2-3 years later. They know how they would have done it. Tell you what, Kerry, you better hope and pray, man, when you get into office that they don't pull another job on United States soil, because you're going to see another 1,000-point stock market drop. What are you going to do then, man? How are you going to bring those jobs back? And what are you going to do when an airline industry or a tourism industry says, we need $40 billion for a bailout, and they got their hand out? What are you going to say? No? And how are you going to make us safer, man? More lines at the airports? Bigger, stronger metal detectors? You're going to roll back the Patriot Act, but still sort of target guys that come from terror-sponsoring countries who are between the ages of 19 and 33, who are on a student visa, but then tell people that that's not profiling, but then tell them that you do have to look at a certain suspect group. I mean, you got to make a lot of people really happy really, really fast. I got a prediction for you guys, then we'll take our break. John Kerry could get elected president in November the way the polls are going right now. The president's in big trouble, right? That guy, if he's one thing, he ain't stupid. He isn't going to change a thing in Iraq. He isn't going to change a thing. If you think the troops are coming home from Iraq, you better think again. Dream on, my brother. They're there. They're there for the long term. We ain't never leaving. Even Al-Qaeda knows that. That's why what they're doing now is they're going after Turkey, Spain, Italy, whatever else, because they know that what we have started in Iraq is never going to end. And what we ought to do is stick a gun into the belly of that guy Assad in Syria and that other bearded clown there in Iran and say, you guys keep sending these mercenaries into Iraq, because this is not an Iraqi insurgency. It's not an Iraqi rebellion. It's foreign mercenaries and terrorists operating in that country. We ought to stick a gun to each one of their heads and say, hey, how'd you like a little Koran stew all over your Koran? Koran. Anyway, that's me being violent. And, you know, I'm a peace-loving guy. I'm having a really... And when I say peace-loving, I do mean peace. Loving guy. 1-800-449-8686. So Steve Bozell tonight and Tony Neal. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Oh, look at this. An edgy ad campaign aimed at getting kids to stop smoking could be forced off the air because tobacco companies are refusing to keep footing the bill. Former top federal health officials gathered Tuesday to urge the companies to keep paying for the Truth Ad campaign run by the Washington-based American Legacy Foundation. Tobacco companies agreed to fund the ad campaign in 98 when the industry reached a $206 billion legal settlement. But now they're arguing with the tobacco companies. Will you or will you not fund these ad campaigns to keep kids from smoking cigarettes? Now, I got an idea. It's just an idea. Marijuana is illegal. Cocaine is illegal. Heroin's illegal. Controlled substances without a doctor's prescription, etc., illegal. Driving under the influence is illegal. Why don't we make tobacco illegal? All right. I'm not kidding either. Eddie Van Halen joins us. Now, Eddie, you lost half your tongue because of cigarette smoking. What do you think about outlawing cigarettes?
I don't think this will be possible.
Why?
Because people are addicted to cigarettes. The reality of the country is they like them. And I think it's a fool's errand to say you're going to give up cigarettes.
A fool's errand? Look, is it destructive or is it not?
It depends on who you talk to.
It depends on who I talk. I'm talking to a guy with half a tongue. How about that?
Oh, well, in my case, yeah, obviously. I mean, you have to realize that I have my tongue, yeah. But I can't... You know, the people that smoke until they're 93 and nothing has happened to them,
But that's guys that smoke till they're 93 and nothing ever happens to them. You're missing your tongue. Shouldn't it be illegal?
When you put it in those terms, it is an interesting argument.
Well, let me ask you this. Eddie, you have kids. Do you want to see them smoke?
Absolutely not.
All right. What do you say to them?
But that's not something as a parent. That's not something as a parent. I even tell them, don't smoke. But, you know, if the...
Well, yeah, it's up to you as a parent. You can say don't smoke marijuana either, but it's still illegal. So there's some things that the government must... There's some things that the government simply must exercise regulatory control over. Controlled substances, drugs, etc. Why do we continue to have this conversation about, smoking campaigns and Joe Camel and the $206 billion settlement and the tobacco companies don't want to do this, but the congressmen want to do that? It's a dangerous, destructive, addictive drug with absolutely no redeeming social value. Why is it still legal?
I just think when you introduce the federal government to the same thing, and you can, the iPod before being on.
Yeah, but look at introducing the federal government to it's not necessarily evil to introduce the federal government to everything.
They don't get told about it. Everybody who told about it, blame fun.
Okay, good point. But how am I going to say to my kids, don't smoke, but oh yeah, it's legal?
That's when people are gone then. Google that night alone day. Ngawa.
All right, well, again, Eddie, you know I respect you.
No, bother me.
But I am not going to say that I can't, for the life of me, understand why this is still legal, especially when I can barely understand what you're saying. I don't even know if the audience can understand what you're saying. You got half your tongue gone, and...
Oh, by the way, I'm cracking up about that, but you need to have half a tongue, but I've got a better thing then.
A guy with half a tongue is better than a guy with a full tongue. Why?
Well, something.
Well, I don't... anyway, I don't want to get into your personal life, okay?
What is it doing, Vaughn?
Yes, you're right. I did breach the subject, but I don't want to do it anymore. But the point is, if they made it illegal, then we wouldn't have to have these conversations. Am I right about that or wrong?
They're wrong.
All right, and if they made it illegal, you'd still have a full tongue. Am I right or am I wrong?
That's the end of mine. I will go in.
You'd go out and procure cigarettes anyway.
Bravo.
All right. Eddie Van Halen, folks. By the way, where are you playing next?
Google that is either the data, the better data.
Okay, that's the Pasadena Civic? All right. So there's Eddie. Why do we keep fooling around with it, man? I mean, obviously the culture is changing away from cigarette smoking. It's like the guy says to me last night, would you agree with four guys getting married? If the culture accepted that as a constructive act, if we realized or saw that it had benefits, then sure, yeah. No, I got nothing against four guys getting married, eight midgets getting married, 12 people. Then some cat calls up and says, well, what about camels? The cigarette or the animal? And he said, both. And I said, all right, marry one and smoke the other. And it's your choice as to which is which. And he went, what do you think he said, Eddie?
That is Bella.
Right. So make it illegal, baby. Have yourself a camel and make it illegal today. Just outlaw it. Get so sick and tired. If you guys out there who don't like smoking really don't like it, press your legislature. I don't care. You think it's going to bother me? It'll help me quit. Make it freaking illegal. Will we be dealing with contraband tobacco? Yeah, probably. But if the argument against making it illegal is that you're going to be dealing with contraband tobacco, then why is anything illegal? You think? See, in other words, like outlawing guns, I don't know. Just get rid of it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. By the way, that carton of Marlboro Lights is in my desk, Chris, so let's go have one at the break. And anyway,
the bother of all that.
Yes, I still smoke because it's legal. Eddie Van Halen, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Coming up, Steve Bozell on gay marriage. Steve is with the traditional marriage advocacy group, and he believes gay marriage will humiliate straight people. Tony Neal with his new TV show, White Eye for a Black Guy. Coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In Heartland, Maine, a man tried to crucify himself. Hello, everybody. I'm Phil Henry, and welcome to Dodger Stadium. No, actually, in Heartland, Maine, some guy tried to nail himself to a cross and then called 911 to say, come help me. Now, I'm not a heartless man. I give to charity, as you know. I support my friend's place. I've got four children. I'm a good neighbor. I pay my taxes, and occasionally I contemplate the origins of this universe and think that perhaps maybe there is a larger spirit than me living out there who helps guide our destinies. But some guy calls me and says, hi, I just crucified myself. Will you please dispatch an ambulance? And I say to him, no, I will not. Well, guess what? It happened in Heartland. They refused him service, and we have the tape. Let's listen, shall we? Do we have that tape? I can hear the police beep.
Yeah, I need help, and I need it bad.
Roger, fireman.
I just nailed myself to a cross because I went and saw the Mel Gibson film.
Santa, you got sandwich now, nailed yourself to a cross.
Yeah.
And what do you want from me?
Can you come and pry me loose? Please send an ambulance. It hurts so bad.
All right. Roger.
Man nailed himself to a cross last night. All right,
sir. You nailed to a cross?
Yeah.
Good luck. You can kiss my...
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
I'm not kissing anybody.
What are you talking about?
I'm not going to waste precious personnel to stand with compound. You're just a pile of compost. That's right.
It hurts really bad. I mean,
good. I hope it hurts forever. Nailed yourself to a cross. I'm sitting here looking at a Merv Griffin rerun, eating some stale pile. What are these things? Anyway, pork rinds? Pork rinds. And you're nailed to a cross. Did you do it on purpose?
Yes, I did.
Why?
I seen the Mel Gibson movie, wanted to know what it was all about. Now it hurts, now I regret it. I was high on speed, and I was snorting crack off a hunting knife.
Jesus H! What a turd!
It hurts. Send an ambulance.
No.
Please.
No, I won't. I'm not going to do it.
Please send me an ambulance. Give me another 911 operator.
Okay. 911, can I help you?
Yeah, I just nailed myself to a cross. I need help.
That's nice.
Will you send an ambulance?
Not likely.
Are you the same guy?
Yeah, I'm just doing a different voice.
You're all pieces of dirty...
Well, there it was. So they refused the guy, and I say, good for you, Heartland, Missouri, or Maine, or whatever the hell you're called. Hi, I just nailed myself to a cross. Would you please send 911, you know, an ambulance to help? No, I'm not going to send an ambulance. I got a pregnant mother over here, a kid caught in a tree. There's a guy with a heart attack, another person with a stroke. There's a gunshot victim, and you nailed yourself to a cross, huh? Well, I guess you're a little hung up, huh? Bah-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha! How about that guy? See, it always happens. There's always this monkey see, monkey do, especially in America. Do you remember when the Lorena Bobbitt thing happened? Some guy took a skill saw to his own genitals and calls 911. Yeah, 911, can I help you?
Yes, sir, I've just cut off my own genitals.
Oh, really? Great. Congratulations.
No, I need a doctor. I'm bleeding badly.
Well, you ain't going to get one from me.
Well, wait a minute, is this 911?
Yeah, it's 911.
And I pay my taxes.
Yeah, and I pay my taxes too, okay? And I don't want to see him going down a rat hole sewing you back up. Good luck.
I'm going to sue you.
Yeah, okay, go ahead, sue me. And when you sue me, man, you better get a lawyer with a nice deep voice, because by the time I see you in court, you're going to be going, Your Honor, I think this is wrong. You know, you're going to ha-ha-ha.
Oh, you call me a squirrel meat, huh?
Yeah. Bug off.
What's your name?
Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody what?
Howdy Doody what? Boy, you did take a skill saw to your thing.
All right. You'll be sorry.
I'll be sorry. You're the guy missing, a very private part. Bug off, pal.
See you later.
Yeah.
By the way, you happen to have the Cubs score?
Yeah, White Sox 6, Cubs 3, ninth inning.
Thank you.
I just nailed myself. Do yourselves a favor, all you emergency personnel people, all of you fine paramedics, all you people who were... You ever hung out with those guys, by the way, paramedics and ambulance guys? Those guys are psycho to the max. They dig the hell out of their jobs. I had a friend of mine, his brother-in-law was a driver and paramedic and all this for an ambulance company in Tampa. And we'd go down there and talk to him, and the guy was just all up and ebullient and happy, and like he had all kinds of serotonin going. He said, hey, how you guys doing? Well, what's up? Well, we pulled a guy out of a tree, half of his body anyway. Hey, Maxie, where's the other body bag? And I go, God, are you cats just wired on caffeine? Well, you know, I got to go, 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 baby. The guy's telling me about how they just rolled to an accident, and they needed two bags for one body because it was just like, you know, in two different parts. And, yeah, it was pretty nuts. Then Eddie over here seen a cat, man, all mangled up by something. And then a guy got eaten by a crocodile and puked up. Boy, we needed a wet vac for that one. You guys really dig your jobs, don't you? Oh, yeah, it's great. Because they're, like, high on adrenaline. Maybe something else, but... So, do all of those very fine, hardworking people a favor. What are you thinking if you're the guy that goes out to try to pry some guy loose? And you know why the guy called? Because he realized after he'd nailed one hand in, he couldn't nail the other one in because the other one was nailed down. This is the brain surgeon we're dealing with. And you're the ambulance guy that's got to go out and pry him loose? I'd take my time rolling to that one. Stop for coffee, maybe a cigar, just... See what's on the radio. Well, aren't you going to... No, just, I think there's a... Aren't they doing that 70s marathon now? Hey, you guys want that thing? Why? Well, he called back. Just tell him to cool his jets. I'm on my way, okay? I got a lot of red lights I'm dealing with. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, Tony Neal, Steve Bozell, and a host of other celebrities. Ted, hello.
Phil, you're making me bust a gut here in the car. I just got to take issue with your politics on the gay marriage thing, man. You know, maybe you have an answer to this, and it's a great one. Maybe it sucks, but what's your perspective on the government letting families have some breaks and defining marriage as a male and a female that want to get together, have kids, and get some privileges as a result? Why should we reinvent the institution or change
because,
it?
But because there are others who want to get married for that reason. They want families, too. They want to protect their partner. They want to protect their family. They want medical benefit. They want the same things that other families have. But they're non-traditional in that they're gay as opposed to straight.
So the benefits that gay people get that decide to live together right now are not the same
as
married couple.
The domestic partnership thing, what is that anyway, Janice? You know? I mean, but no, they ain't. To make the answer short, no, they're not getting the same benefits. They want the full benefits and recognition. You know, marriage is a highly symbolic thing. That's why this is so explosive, right? I mean, you know, we're like I said one time, we're really addicted to our symbols, and when you mess with a symbol, you're really messing with something very potent. People getting married is basically standing in front of the tribe, as it were, and saying we are now joined, and the tribe sort of blesses it. And we recognize you, and you now become a part of society as that nuclear unit. And gay people just want the right to do that too. The reality is, however, you and I can argue about it till we're blue in the face. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't keep history from unfolding, and you can't keep certain things from evolving. It just it's an impossible thing.
Hey, I totally agree with you, and I think that. You know, I think it's a horrible thing that of all the institutions, the church is letting this become a huge issue,
now you're all flip-flopping, huh?
No,
A minute ago you were against it. Now you want to get down on the Catholics?
No. Hey, if I had my druthers, church would be no longer a state or government institution. It would be a covenant between a community or two people. As long as it's going to be a government thing, why not let the government define it as a male-female bond for the purpose of having kids?
Okay. What do you want me to say? Okay, man, I've been talking about this till I'm blue in the freaking face. Why let the government do that? Because it discriminates against other people. There's a thing called equal protection under the law, people. And I got to tell you something. That guy was a very nice guy, and he was very, you know, smart, and he's not a bad guy, but... You know, there's just no debating this. I don't even want to debate it anymore. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. What do you think of that? Because that's where the culture is evolving to. I'll give another example. Down in some county in Tennessee, they want to outlaw gay people. Really, it's in the news. They want to get rid of all the gays. Well, no, you won't. No, you're not. And who are you people, and why did you elect these guys as county commissioners? I mean, obviously, their priorities are right straight up there, you know what. You know what? They're going to outlaw gay people. What kind of brain surgeons did you guys elect down there? You're not going to outlaw gay people. You're not. It's not going to happen. Never will. It ain't 1962 anymore. It ain't 1958. We ain't doing Jim Crow no more. All right. Now, some people either got to get into the future or do yourself and everybody else a favor and just step in front of a crosstown bus, preferably about 100 yards after it's left the station. Because it isn't going to happen, folks. Sometimes you have to bite the bullet and accept certain things, whether or not you agree with them. What's that called, Phil? Democracy? And the fact that two gay guys are getting married, it ain't no sweat off of you, man. It can only get better. Straight people have made a mockery out of marriage in a lot of ways. Children are abused, drug and addicted parents, spousal abuse. I mean, what, do I got to go through it again? What the hell are straight people standing on ceremony about marriage? Man, I don't see their record as being all that stellar. So how, you want to know what? The fact is, in 10 years, when gay marriage is legal, and they'll do the first sociological study of gay marriage, say in about 10 years, you will find that the rate of divorce among gays is the same as straights. Probably the rate of child abuse is the same as straights. And probably the rate of domestic abuse will be the same as straights. Why? Because it ain't got anything to do with your sexual orientation. It's got to do with the quality of the people, man, involved in the situation. So I'm not even willing to say that gay people are going to make marriage better. I'm just going to say they're going to be like everybody else. They're going to be married. I'm not arguing this thing anymore. Unless, of course, I see a need to argue, you know, this thing again. But it's just we're making the same arguments over and over, and I get the same kind of questions. Why not let the government do that? Why not let the government just freaking put Jews in concentration camps? Why not let the government... We don't let the government do certain things. We don't let them deprive people of equal protection under the law. We don't let them enforce unconstitutional laws. And the law banning gay marriage is, frankly, unconstitutional. That's all there is to it. That's the end. Thank you. And we'll be back at the bottom of the third inning. It's the Dodgers 3 and the Cubs coming up. Don't forget our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Hey, get a backstage pass, baby, and see what you've been missing. Get all the classic comedy we do on our show in our archive comedy section, as well as our 30-day archive for our shows. And with that backstage pass, that's $6.95 a month. $6.95 a month for the price of a pack of cigarettes in Mexico. At a resort. Check out our souvenir shop, too. All you got to do is go into the souvenir shop. We're featuring, for April Fools, the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police belt watch. This thing's gorgeous. What do they call that thing? It's like a belt watch. It hangs right off the belt. It's you got to check it out. Go into the Jay Santos shop for April Fools and get a copy of the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. It's all there at www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Look, here it is. Here it is. In Vermont, they got a thing called civil union. In California, they have a domestic partners thing. But it ain't marriage. There's certain federal protection that you're extended when you're married. What is that? Well, anywhere you go, people know that you're married. You go outside the state of California, they don't care, you're not. Outside of the state of Vermont, you ain't. You see? Also, you are not called a married couple. That word has clarity, it has power, it provides a certain dignity. There's a certain security in that word. And it just ain't going to happen, man, that one group of people get it and another group of people don't. It isn't going to happen. Otherwise, I don't live in America. I don't know where the hell I'm living, man. These days, I'm doubting it more and more. But, I mean, at least I know we got a thing called the Constitution. I don't know what the hell kind of a country people think we're running here when it's just for them and it ain't for everybody. I mean, I'm not talking about everybody being deprived of something, as in the prohibition against alcohol or marijuana or something like that. I'm not talking about everybody being allowed to do something, if, you know, for instance, paying taxes. buying groceries, conducting commerce. We're talking about one group of people not being allowed, and everybody else gets it. You don't do that in America. You don't prohibit one group of people from rights enjoyed by other people. That doesn't happen. Do you understand? How much clearer can I make this? And you cats with the guy that called up and said, have you ever heard of Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah, I heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. Best 1-2 pitching combo in Mets history. Ha-ha! Whatever. I respect your religion, and I hope it makes you happy, and I hope that it provides you with many years of comfort and enables you to be a good human being and contributor to your society. But it has no currency with others, such as myself, and is not allowed to dictate what the majority of the people of the country wish. Religion is an adjunct, baby. It don't rule the roost in America. You want to go to a country where religion rules? Go to Iran. Now, see that? That's what happens when religion rules. Go to any country that Al-Qaeda wants to take over. Chopping off hands, putting women in bags, gays can't get married, you know. You want to live in a country like that, you can do that. There, nowadays, there's an effort, folks, and here is really what's going on. We stand at a crossroads of history. You may think that this is, I must be smoking like banana leaves or something. Maybe I've gone back to like scraping the inside of banana peel and smoking it. But we really do stand at the crossroads of history. We're probably engaged in a much bigger struggle than any hallucination we had about the communists. We're really battling, when we talk about these terrorists, the past. The future and the past are at war right now at the turn of this millennium. Maybe that's what Nostradamus and all those guys were talking about. We think there's going to be some cataclysm and Jesus is going to come down on a cloud and take everybody up. No, maybe what he was talking about is this is the ultimate battle that mankind has faced since the beginning. Do we move forward or do we go back? Do we move forward or do we go back? The future frightens the hell out of a lot of people. Why? Because it's unknown. The mullahs and the fundamentalists, whether they're Islamic or Christian, don't trust the future. They never have. They don't like Darwinism. They don't like gay people. They don't like equal rights for blacks. They don't want one world government. They don't want United Nations. Anything that smacks of kind of evolving the society, it's scary. What do they want? They want to return to the tried and true days of the medieval days, when everybody's hands were getting chopped off and guys were getting tortured, and there was one leader, and he was called the religious guy, whether he was the Pope or the Mullah, and that's what they want. This is what we're fighting when we fight these terrorists. You don't believe me? Look into them. What do they believe in? And what do you believe in? And you want to retreat behind a metal detector? Tut, tut, my good man. All right, Phil Henry Show will return with Steve Bozell. Gay marriage is humiliating straight people. Here we go again with Steve. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The issue of gay marriage is threatening in many ways to straight people. We've heard this over the past few days. Can the legality of gay marriage weaken straight marriage? Will it devalue marriage? On to talk about it is Steve Bozell. Mr. Bozell is a private businessman. Pop him up on the line here. He's a private businessman and the spokesperson for the Traditional Marriage Advocacy Group. Thanks for joining us, sir.
My pleasure, sir.
Straight people seem to be up in arms over gay marriage. Is that what you're seeing?
Without a doubt, this is not the way to go. I don't think that gay marriage is the way to go at all, because it is going to humiliate people who are straight and who have worked real hard to be married and just give out marriage licenses to gay people. Our group speaks for the straight couples of America, and we're basically saying, you know, why do you want to do that? Well, all it'll do is humiliate straight people. What two people do in their bedroom, I got no problem with.
All right, let's get down to this. Is it the sex?
No, sir. What two people do, it's when they parade it in front of the public. And the effect is twofold.
Well, let me. Do you think the principal reason is because of what they think is the immorality of homosexuality?
No, sir, I don't. I mean, it's when they parade it in front of the public. I don't care what a man, you know, two guys want to do to each other in a bedroom. A guy being with a guy, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but it's when they parade it in front of the public. The effect is twofold, as I was going to say, Phil. It's in many ways disgusting, and it is for straight people humiliating for gays to just show themselves off. And
all right, now I wanted to get to this. Why is it humiliating? You've used this word, especially in your literature and on your website. Why is this word humiliating a part of your argument?
Well, statistics continue to show that gay people earn more per capita than straight people. As a result, they generally lead a more affluent lifestyle than straight people. And you see time and time again the gay man in an expensive suit, expensive clothes, driving a car that I wish I had, you know, showing straight guys how to dress and keeping an apartment clean. There's a TV show that's on right now. I'm not familiar if you're familiar with it, but it's bigoted against straight men because it assumes straight men have no concept of clothing or dress.
Yeah, the Queer Eye for a Straight Guy.
Yes, sir.
Well, this all came to a head for you, Mr. Bozell, watching recent news coverage of a gay marriage taking place. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it did.
And you decided to form this group, the Traditional Marriage Advocacy Group, to keep gay marriage from humiliating straights.
Yes, sir. My wife and I were watching one of the gay marriages on television, and it was an emotional experience for me. My children were witnessing this as well, which just breaks your heart that a guy and a guy are doing that, and your children are watching two guys, you know, who do it to each other, and then they get married. In any event, they had these two guys getting married, and they were showing off the money they have with the suits they were wearing, and they were nice, but my wife turned to me, and this was the moment of truth for me and the reason why we formed our organization and why I've taken legal action. My wife turned to me and said, and I wrote it down for my attorney, "I wish you'd look that good at our wedding." And
your wife said, "I wish you'd look that good," meaning the gay guys looked really good in their suits?
That is correct. And it's one of those comments that just tears you apart, that I didn't look good for our wedding. She would rather I was dressed like some gay guy, and I had to compose myself.
Well, were you dressed badly at your wedding? Were you?
No, sir, I was not.
What were you wearing?
Well, I'll tell you, when April and I got married, I was wearing probably one of the most expensive tailored suits you can buy by Jeffrey White. Now, it is Western wear. It had flared silk slacks. I had piping down the side, a beautiful full lapel Western jacket. I had epaulets, cuffs with horsehead cufflinks. I had a bow tie with a traditional Western steer bow. And I had a belt that my mother won in a barrel race in Amarillo. My family had done some rodeo. She was in a barrel race in Amarillo, Texas, 1968. And I was wearing a pair of boots by Henry Gillard, who has made boots for Dwight Yoakam and a host of other country singers. And then I had a hat made by Double Eddie, a traditional Western hat with a leather band embossed with ruby gems. Now, it was a very elegant outfit. I understand my wife didn't like it, but for her to say that a gay guy looks better than me...
Well, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
I mean, the outfit sounds interesting, but it also sounds rather garish and very, very heavily themed. Was this a Western wedding?
No, sir. No, it was a Catholic wedding. It was a high mass. And your
wife preferred you to dress...
Well, my wife, if she had issues with the way I was dressed that day, she could have brought them up. And even if she did, to say, "I wish you hadn't dressed in traditional Western wear," and this wasn't even Western wear, this was a Western tuxedo, that would be something I could help her work on. But she said instead, "I wish you dressed like a gay guy, like two guys who do it to each other." And it demoralized me. I was unable to continue watching with my family. I excused myself. I went into a guest bathroom that we have downstairs, and I just contemplated what had been said.
As a result, you are filing a lawsuit against your own wife, and you are also filing a lawsuit that would prohibit any further gay weddings from taking place. Because they are essentially humiliating.
Yes, sir.
Because your wife said you didn't look as good as these gay guys getting married.
That is, well, if you look at that TV show,
Queer Eye for a Straight Guy?
Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. Now, all that says is straight guys look bad, and my wife took it upon herself to humiliate me in front of my children.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Gay men dress very well, and as a result, they look good when they get married. Mr. Bozell says he and his wife were watching a gay wedding on TV when she said to him, "I wished you'd look that good when we got married." He was wearing a traditional Western outfit, and the humiliation of that.
The humiliation of that, especially in front of my children, is what I'm talking about. Now,
your wife said she wished you dressed that nice at your wedding, meaning dressed the way this gay guy was dressed for his wedding with another gay guy. Now, it's no secret that they do have good taste in clothing.
Well, I think that it's prejudice against straight people. I just told you that I was wearing one of the top Western wear outfits, and I can assure you it may sound like a garish outfit, but believe me, Mr. Henry, I look good in it, and that suit is worth more than your car. Okay, so with my wife...
I'm not saying that what you wore was not a valuable piece of finery, but she didn't like it.
What my wife did is indicative of what's going on across the country. Straight people are being humiliated by the gay and shamed for being straight. Western wear and what have you, while other wives tell us to look more like some guy that does another guy in, you know, with sex...
So hence, you started this group of straight couples, the Traditional Marriage Advocacy Group, because you call this bigotry.
Well, first of all, gay marriage means that straights will be humiliated and laughed at by gays because they'll be out and better dressed, and it shows, like, you know, Will and Grace show queers looking smarter than straights and richer are bigoted, and also Queer Eye for the gay guy makes straight men look like they don't make as much money as queer guys do, and that's hateful. And what I experienced, I don't even want any other man to experience. And so,
tell the lawsuit that you're filing against your wife, which is unprecedented, isn't it?
Well, my attorney, Dolores Blasingame, in Riverside, California, has told me that there are two grounds of civil suit. When a wife tells a husband that he didn't look good at the wedding, that's okay. But when she says you didn't look good at our wedding, and that queer or the gay person looks better, this is defamation of character, and it is marital betrayal.
Two defamation of character and marital betrayal. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. How much do you think you represent straight people?
Well, I think it's very clear that straight people are very much against the gay marriage. I don't think straight people have thought, though, about how gays continually show us up and now are going to be getting married in very nice, you know, Armani suits, Hugo Boss suits, and all of that. And I don't think I should have to compete with that and have my wife tell me that I don't look as good as some guy that does a guy. And
when you're talking about a humiliation, sir, that is certainly could be, couldn't it be brushed off by simply saying, well, there's no accounting for good taste.
This is the most important day of my life. I was wearing an outfit that, I'll tell you, there are probably the top five rodeo riders in the country would commit murder for that outfit that I was wearing that day we got married. It was a beautiful day, a Catholic wedding with a high mass, and now I find out that a gay looks better than me.
All right. Is this something happening? Are you afraid that your wife was attracted to the gay guy?
Well, I don't know if she's attracted to him. A lot of straight women are, but she thought that I looked worse than the queer guy. So we're trying to do two things. I'm suing my wife, but number two, we want an injunction against gay marriages once and for all. They talk about it, but they don't do it, to stop these people now. Because every time you turn the TV on and see the gay get married, the guy's all looking in tuxedos and everything. And I've got a friend of mine who is one of the dearest friends that I've got. He is a traditional, kind of good old boy. You know, the thing you make fun of, the mullet haircut and everything, he had that. He got married down to Ramada Inn, and, you know, my wife's laughing at him because he don't look good as good as the Queer Eye guy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell is with us from the Traditional Marriage Advocacy Group, and his wife told him, as they were watching a gay marriage on TV, I wished you'd look that good when we got married. Mr. Bozell is saying that is a humiliation based upon, gays showing up straights in the way they dress, that his wife, his attorney is going to sue her on the basis of something called marital betrayal, and he also wants an injunction ending gay marriages because there's going to be more of this kind of humiliation. And there's no end in sight. 1-800-449-8686 to sue your own wife. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking with Steve Bozell of the Traditional Marriage Advocacy Group. Gay marriage, at least in your case, your wife and you seeing two gay men getting married on TV, and she said, I wish you would have looked that good when we got married. This is a personal argument that you're having.
No, sir, it is not.
Well, it seems like it's a personal argument you're having with her, because she didn't like you wearing a cowboy outfit when you got married.
Well, I got done telling you the cowboy outfit was a very expensive outfit. Like I said, it's worth more than your car. And for my wife to turn around and say, you know, I wish you looked that good. These gays who dress good, these gays who drive these cars that are more expensive, these gays who, and I don't begrudge a man making a living. I don't begrudge a man, you know, but when a guy who does it with another guy, and my wife thinks that he looks better than I do, and I was wearing...
Well, you were wearing a cowboy outfit.
It was not a cowboy outfit. It was a Western wear tuxedo, sir, but not a cowboy outfit.
Well, you were wearing a big hat with a ruby studded leather band. You had on.
Yes, it was a traditional Western wear.
And you had on cowboy boots. It was a Catholic high mass?
Yes, sir.
So you're suing your wife.
Because she humiliated me in front of my son. And when a straight couple watch the news and see these gays looking good, it gives the wives the ammunition to call her husbands, you know, inept and everything.
All right, let me go to a call here, Mr. Bozell. We're going to take some phone calls, sir.
Yes, sir.
Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Steve Bozell.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Yes, sir. Fine.
Sir, it sounds like it's a security issue. It sounds like there's something going on with he has a personal issue on gay marriages, and I don't understand.
Wait a minute. Are you straight, sir?
Yes, I am.
All right. And are you married?
Yes, I am.
All right, sir, so you understand that straight marriage is under assault from the gay who is getting on TV all in a Hugo Boss suit.
I don't agree with it. I understand your point that
yes,
I do not agree with gay marriages or what's going on with that TV show, but I do not understand how it's humiliating to you. I don't understand if you have an insecurity problem.
No, sir, when your wife turns to you and says you don't look as good as a guy that does another guy, what you didn't look as good at your wedding, which is a straight wedding, sanctioned by the state, in the eyes of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and some guy that does another guy is on TV, and she goes, well, don't he look good? I think we got some problems, especially when I'm wearing a Western wear tuxedo worth probably around $15,000 to $20,000.
And that. But it doesn't. That happens every day.
I like to say Roy Rogers would have given up Trigger for the wedding outfit that I had on, and yet my wife looks at a gay who does another guy. Do you have Let me ask you. Do you have a Giorgio Armani suit? Probably not.
No,
so
I do not.
You'll never look as good as the gay.
Well, that works in reverse also, though. So do you not look at another woman and say, "Man, she looks good. I wish my wife could look like that."
Not on the day we got married, the most sanctified day of my life. My wife was the most beautiful woman that I ever did see.
Well, I understand that on the day you get married.
Yes.
She didn't say this to you on the day that you got married. How long have you been married?
She said it about the day we got married. I've been married 17 years. And she said on that day, the most sacred day of my life, she wanted me to look like one of these Queer Eye for the Gay guys. And I don't know if you've seen that TV show.
Yes.
Well, I mean, so she said, you know, I wish you would have worn an Armani suit instead of your cowboy outfit.
See? My mother...
Well, I understand that. But I also believe, too, that, you know...
Well,
now, don't get me wrong.
Well, my mother won a medal barrel racing in the Wyoming Rodeo in 1968, which I wore, and I love my mother. She passed on in 1965. My wife says that that's no good. Oh, boy. That hurts.
Well, I understand.
All right.
I understand your emotional distress over it, but... You also have to understand that stuff happens in a marriage.
John, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. It's probably a matter of insecurity.
I understand when people say insecurity. I got them covered on it. This is not insecurity. The gay looks good even to straight women. And that's what we're talking about.
All right, let me go over here to Jose. Hello, Jose. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell.
Hey, Steve. You know what? The whole premise on this is just irrelevancy on how a gay man looks versus a straight man. I'm a straight man.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? Whether or not a gay man looks better than the white straight man, whether or not you perceive there to be an assault on gay marriage, it really is a perception.
I think it's an assault on straight marriage is what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. Right, exactly. So to be completely honest with you, that whole assault theory, that's a perception.
Have you seen the show?
Gays are not trying to suppress. They're not just trying to suppress or remove or take away the rights of the straight couple.
See, that's what I'm saying. I disagree with that, because by saying that I don't look as good as the queer eye for a gay guy, I'm not allowed to wear my Western wear. Okay? Now they're suppressing my right to wear the beautiful medal that my mother got in 1968 in the barrel races.
Now, okay. I would argue this one straight point with you. I wouldn't say necessarily that you weren't allowed. It's a matter of taste. It's a matter of what your wife feels is appealing to her.
Are you gay, sir?
That's irrelevant.
Well, I just want to know what political point of view you're coming from. Because if you're gay, then you don't.
I'm very heterosexual, and I'm a virile heterosexual, but that's irrelevant. The topic of discussion is the fact that you've placed a lawsuit on your wife on a feeling where you felt like your manhood or your straightness is being compromised.
Yes, sir.
Because we have homosexuals on TV that one make more money than an average straight male.
Jose, that's Jose's got the point. That's what you're saying?
Well, look, women are going to never be satisfied now that the gay flaunts his money in his nice clothes, and I've got a Western wear outfit that Nudie Cohn himself would have been proud of. They said it's probably the second best looking one since the gold lame that he made for Elvis Presley at the Las Vegas show he did. And my wife says, boy, I wish you would have looked like some gay guy. I can tell you, when she says that in front of your own son, your own flesh and blood.
Whether or not she commented on the gay man, it could have been a straight man.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
That's the point. The guy looks good,
The point is that she is stating a preference or a liking of a specific style. Whether or not he was driving a Ferrari.
She is stating a preference and a liking for the gay guy for a queer eye, and that's what I'm saying.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is gay marriage threatening straight marriage? Because it'll humiliate straights. The gays look better than straight people do. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm talking with Stephen Bozell from the Traditional Marriage Advocacy Group. Mr. Bozell, you are against gay marriage. You feel that gay marriage only humiliates straight people, particularly with regard to the fact that most gay people are more affluent or make more money. They dress better. And in point of fact, you were watching a marriage with your wife, a gay marriage, where she said, I wish you looked that good at our wedding. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct.
All right. Now, I want to ask you about the part of the lawsuit has to do with your wife humiliating you in front of friends. When you attempted to dress, as you said, in a gay manner for her?
Well, she had made the point, I wished you'd look that good at our wedding, and she's talking about a guy that does another guy. I went down to a store here in the Corona area, which is frequented by a lot of gay people who live in the Pomona Corona area. I purchased a pair of, because I do like Western wear, I purchased a pair of leather chaps. And I talked to the gentleman behind the counter who identified himself at the time as a gay guy. And he said, a lot of guys will wear these chaps with no underwear, nothing on. And so I did at our home. And my wife proceeded to laugh at me. We also had a couple over, and they laughed. And so I can't do anything right. I dressed like a gay. She laughed. I wore a Western wear suit worth $20,000 that had a steer bow tie as well as the barrel racing medal and mother one. She laughed. So, it's obvious gay guys.
Wait a minute. You walked out in a pair of chaps with no underwear, nothing on.
That is correct. That is what a lot of the queer guys for a straight guy wear.
In front of another couple?
Well, these are our next door neighbors. That's what I was told.
and she laughed again. So my attorney, Dolores Blasingame, says I'm fully rooted in marital betrayal and defamation of character as well as alienation of affections on account of what she did.
So, in other words, you wanted to dress like a gay guy so your wife would think you looked hot, and you came out wearing leather chaps and nothing else.
That is correct, yes, sir.
In front of another couple.
This was very good friends. It's the way gays dress, so it didn't make, in my mind, much difference. And I had no, and I turned around, and as I turned around, and they were laughing, I had a little bit of an emotional breakdown, so I just turned around. And I guess when I turned around, I wasn't wearing anything, so they saw me run into the bedroom. And at that time, I was definitely emotionally distraught. And they saw me run into the bedroom with nothing on, with the chaps. And my wife made the comment. She thought she was gonna. I think she said she thought she was gonna blank herself when she saw my chaps flapping in the wind as I ran into the bedroom weeping.
Well, boy, you know what? What you're laying out here to me is like I. Let me talk to Sherry here. Sherry, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Does Mr. Bozell have a point here?
I have a point.
I mean a case. Sherry, go ahead.
Well, to me, it sounds like he's going through a midlife crisis, quite honestly. Just so you know, sir, I've never even really watched Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. I have no desire to.
Well, all they do is make straight guys, they show straight guys up all the time. Like, we don't know how to dress, we don't know how to do this.
I really don't care what they do. I mean, some women may be attracted to that, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's an awful lot of women that aren't.
Aren't what?
Attracted to what I call a pretty boy.
Well, these Queer Eye for the Straight Guy guys, they wear Armani suits, Hugo Boss suits, the Perry Ellis slacks, the this, the that, and everything else, diamond rings. You know, they wear their hair real good, they got the $200 haircuts. And they dress all like that, and I put on a good, solid American pair of Western wear. Then, when I tried to dress like a queer, plus I put on a CD by the Village People, because my understanding is that they were a queer group, and...
You know, I don't... If we could use the word gay...
I'm sorry, like a gay group, and I put on the YMCA song, and I was dancing to it.
Why are you doing that?
Because my wife was commenting on how good the gay guy looked.
Hey, you know what? My boyfriend did do the leather chap thing, and I really liked it, but
with no,
I didn't
with no
think
underwear.
It was gay at all,
with no
you know, and we did it, like, with each other.
I can assure you that I'm told by the very best authorities that when a man puts on a pair of chaps with nothing else, he's queer. And
well,
wife,
he's also a biker, though, too, so he wears them, and I
A lot of your bikers have had jail experience where... They did,
not,
they
not
did
mine,
another
not
guy.
Mine. Actually, we're driving in a truck right now, and he's a truck driver. Would you like to talk to him about gay guys? He'd love to talk to you about him. Hold on.
Was he in jail? Because a lot of the jail guys like to do each other. Now, and as I was dancing, my son's pointing, Daddy, your thing's out of your chaps. It was nuts.
I was nuts for wearing chaps?
All right. Were you the guy that called originally? No. See you later. 1-800.
Well, why'd you hang up on him?
I hung up on him because he didn't call. The other lady called. We don't put nobody on here unless we talk to him. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Steve, I tell you, man, somebody's just got to tell you to get a life. I mean, you're completely missing the boat here. I agree with you that gays should not get married,
exactly.
But for completely different reasons.
Exactly. Okay, that's nice. Well, so you agree with me.
Well, yes, I agree that gays shouldn't get married, but what you need is a friend to tell you, man, lose this whole identity crisis you're going through and just be yourself. Let me tell you the reason why a gay should not get married. Personally,
gays look better.
It has nothing to do with how gays look. You're threatened.
Well, how come my wife said that she wanted me to dress like a queer?
You're threatened by the way gays look, and that's a personal problem you've got. The reason gays should not be allowed to get married is because marriage is an institution set aside to help a couple raise a family. Society says we have certain rights and privileges, and we'll give you certain tax deductions, and we will help you because it's a struggle to raise a family, and you need all the help you can get.
Are you married to?
Yes, I am.
I can tell you that it is a dark, black day when your wife tells you, you know, put on some chaps so you can look gay, and then she laughs at you.
That would be a dark, black day if she said the guy next door looked good, too, or if she said she thought the guy that was packing the shopping cart for her at Walmart was better looking than you. Get over it, you know? There's absolutely nothing wrong with the gay lifestyle, but I don't believe it should be sanctified in marriage. That's a completely different issue.
until you put on chaps without underwear, I don't know that you can comment.
Well, I'll tell you, I would probably look pretty good in chaps without underwear, and I doubt if I'd run from the room crying because of the reaction.
Laughing,
what you've got is some severe identity issues going on.
If they were laughing, you wouldn't run from the room crying if they laughed at you.
No.
Well, at one point, you said, not to interrupt, gentlemen, but you said that your wife wanted you to dress like a gay, that you interpreted that after seeing the gay wedding. So you got into these chaps, did the YMCA dance, and then sat on this guy Don Frank's knee?
That's correct.
You know, that is just, that's just ridiculous. For anyone to do that, I mean, it sounds like to me like you've got some latent homosexual tendencies going there.
Well, mister, that is uncalled for.
Well, that's exactly what it sounds like. What kind of idiot would come out in front of their neighbors in chaps and no underwear on? I mean, let's call it the way it is. That's the stupidest thing I think I have ever heard.
It sounds ridiculous to me, Mr. Bozell, only from the standpoint...
You know what? Both of you guys could go drop down to the fifth ring of hell.
He just hung up.
Well, I'm sorry I got him so upset, but I do agree with his position that gays shouldn't be married, and for the reasons I stated.
All right, thanks for calling. What did that sound like to you? I think that guy works on KFWB. I think it was a talk show host from KFI Junior. 1-800-449-8686, Mr. Stephen Bozell, who put on a pair of chaps with no underwear and sat on his neighbor's knee because he thought his wife liked the way gay guys dress. We'll be back on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On our show yesterday was Art Griego. He is a father and a man very concerned with teenage suicide. He said the statistics he quoted us, teenage suicide has tripled since 1970. He believes the reason teens are trying to kill themselves is because they're ashamed of the fact that they're so stupid. His daughter tried. She tried to hang herself from a crossbeam in the garage, but it broke. Then she tried to beat herself to death with a wiffle ball bat. He thinks this is just like, it's nuts, you know.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi. Guess I would like to start out by, I guess I feel the need to qualify myself so I don't get categorized as a stupid female. I'm a physician. I'm an internal medicine doctor. As a matter of fact, you can overdose on vitamins. Probably not vitamin C, but vitamins
right,
that contain
one.
Iron.
Jerry Marsdale told me that his son had tried to commit suicide. He walked into his room with a kid and a cap gun to his head. Now, tell me that's not funny. Tell me that isn't funny.
Sir,
I'm going to have to tell you that's desperate. Not funny, but desperate.
A cap gun? Oh, come on.
Sir, that you know what?
Sir, I've seen people that have shot themselves in the head with real guns that have actually ended up just paralyzed for the attempt. So, you know, please
that's
forgive me for not finding all of these as funny as you do.
Well, that's not funny, what you just said. That's horrible.
Right.
But a kid trying to kill himself by jumping off the roof into the pool?
Right, but I'm saying that these are probably what they call suicide gestures. In other words, attempts to by a desperate person to get attention.
Well, then rename my group, Parents of Kids who Attempted Suicide Gestures. Because Madison and one of her boyfriends had a suicide pact. They tried to suffocate each other but kept dropping the pillows.
What are you doing, a stand-up act here?
How many times has your daughter tried to kill herself?
I beg your pardon?
How many times has your daughter tried to kill herself?
Three times.
You've mentioned the garage beam.
Yes.
Being broken.
Yes.
And the pillows.
Yes, ma'am.
And what
asphyxiation?
Else? Beating herself with a wiffle bat and cutting her wrist with a ruler. I think we're up to four.
You know what? The ruler I didn't take seriously.
What are you doing, a stand-up act here?
Mr. Hendry, laughter cures.
So let's talk about the funny times our kids try to kill themselves.
Well, sir, I'm just arguing that I think laughter is helping you and the other parents cope, but I'm not sure if it's really helpful at all to the children. I think that these children actually do need psychiatric evaluation and help.
Her mother drank when she was pregnant with her. That's for sure. And the doctor said that has something to do with her large head.
Wait a second. Are you talking about fetal alcohol syndrome?
Yes.
Well, what in the hell are you talking about, man? That's a serious malady.
Then she threw herself in front of a kid on a razor scooter.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, that's comedy, man. The kids are trying to kill themselves because they're so dumb. The girl couldn't even do it right, man. She threw herself in front of a razor scooter. Art Griego on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. And don't forget the website is www.philhendryshow.com. And if you want to hear more of this garbage, you can go there and listen to our archives. And it's just loaded, man, loaded. The fattest archive of radio comedy in history on the Phil Hendry Show website, www.philhendryshow.com. Coming up, by the way, is Tony Neal, whose idea for a new show based upon Queer Eye for a Straight Guy is White Eye for a Black Guy, where white guys help black guys get loans for houses and stuff. Now, I don't know. He says that it helps diffuse racism. We'll see. The passion, they say, is reducing anti-Semitism. A new poll suggests that the Passion of Christ would trigger anti-Semitism. Well, it says it's unwarranted. Now, I only got one thing to say about this, and you can say whatever you want. All this stuff about blaming the Jews for killing Jesus, man, if you accept that, you got to accept the Christians have been murdering Jews for centuries. I think the score is settled, all right? The score's been settled. Did the Jews kill Jesus? Were they in favor? Were they not? Did they? How? Why? Who? What? Don't you think by now the score, 2,000 years of running them out of every country in the world, butchering them up, sticking them in ovens, I think the score is definitely flattened now, man. I think the karma is leveled and everything is now cool. You gotta say everything's cool. Now we got a kid in some town in Arizona. This kid's wearing his baseball cap sideways. See, this is the kind of stuff that, personally, I guess I never thought I'd find myself talking this way, but I think I will talk this way. Guys wearing the schools have got rules for dress. When I was a teenager, I fancied myself a college student. Because I saw the college students, especially back when I was a kid, were protesting the war in Vietnam, were involved in civil rights, freedom rider, voter registration. College students were doing all kinds of interesting, cool stuff when I was in high school. I said, man, those guys, and they had sit-ins and protests, and they had publishing student newspapers and taking over the chancellor's office. It looked really like a cool thing to do. And to any high school kid, a college student looks cool because he's an adult. He's going to school, but he's smoking cigarettes. How cool is that? So high school students want to be like college students. There's just one tiny itsy-bitsy problem. They're not. They're still technically minors. Now, what does that mean? It means legally the adults are responsible for them. So now the high school's trying to instill a sense of uniformity in the kids. They say, look, we're going to outlaw any kind of clothing that we think is gang-related, okay? Now, why any parent would give a school an argument about this is beyond me. It's beyond my wildest, conception of what it is to be a parent. What do you care? If the school doesn't want the kid to look like some scumbag, gang-banging piece of crap, then why don't you support him? Well, your son was wearing a baseball cap, so he has a constitutional right, and I swear to God, these parents that take exception to schools that are trying to enforce dress codes, they got an issue themselves. I don't think they made it out of high school, if you want my honest opinion. I think they still are, a little juvenile in the way they think. School didn't want your kid wearing a thong. Hey, you know what, man? My daughter, hey, God bless her. I don't particularly dig the idea of her wearing a miniskirt with a thong to a dance either. You know, I mean, it's just call me old-fashioned. When she turns 18, hell, she could get a boyfriend. She can make every guy on the USS Enterprise her boyfriend for all I care. What am I going to do? But as long as she's a kid, I got some kind of responsibility, right? But these parents, they really are, there's something for the books, man. So this dumb kid is out on the campus. He's wearing his baseball cap sideways. Guy says, well, you got to put it on straight. Well, how come you're telling me and not the white kids? Well, maybe it's because we don't like blacks. You know, maybe that's it. Who knows? But they told the kid to put it on straight. He wouldn't do it. And now his parents are supporting him. And it's a whole big freaking hubbub, man. I wouldn't be a teacher for love or money. I would rather choke on razor blades than be a teacher in the United States of America for all the support you get from half of these dim bulb parents. Look it, man, I'm trying to teach your stupid kid, okay? It helps if he ain't looking like something that just came off the, just somebody that just started tagging a wall down for the Crips, okay? So how about if you dress the guy like a human being for me and give me a hand here? He has a constitutional right, and I'm going to call the ACLU, and I'm going to do that. ACLU is a fantastic organization. I believe heavily in the ACLU. I think they got better things to do than to defend your dopey kid with a sideways baseball cap. And the cops got to get involved in all of this crap. Freaking schools banner lockdown. And what's our answer to all of it? Abandon them. Private schools. School choice. We've given up on every front, man. Let's run from the freaking terrorists. Let's run away from the public schools. Jesus. And who do we leave to fight our battles for us? School security guards. Teachers. They got better things to do than to be cops. I'm telling you, it's enough to make a guy just start to cry. Good thing I got a tall boy at Budweiser in the icebox. I'll be right back. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Tony Neal has produced some 350 television shows, including the recent Lincoln Awards show and the Time Is Now special. He's working on a book about his experiences in Hollywood called One Man's Pipe Dream. And he's on the speaker circuit promoting several new television projects, one of which has drawn some criticism from minority groups. The show, as I understand it, Tony, drew its inspiration from Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. Thanks for being on our program.
It's always a pleasure, Phil.
Tell me about this program.
Phil, our show drew its inspiration from Queer Eye for a Straight Guy because Queer Eye is the first show to show us that we all can learn from each other, and it doesn't have to be about bigotry to say perhaps that a gay man knows a little more about personal grooming than a straight man. And so to that end, I spoke with John Dearbar, who is a longtime writer friend of mine, and I asked, how can we expand this concept to include other segments of our society, blacks, women, etc.? Because my father used to say, he used to quote the Beatles song, "Oh, I'll get by with a little help from my friends." Because if we have shows on that break down the barriers like Queer Eye, how can that be bad? So John came back the next day.
So your idea was to capitalize on Queer Eye for a Straight Guy with other so-called minorities?
That is correct.
Okay.
So John came back to me the next day. He had a yellow legal pad. He said to me, I have an idea, but he said, I don't know how it's going to go over. And I said, well, tell me what it is, and we'll deal with it. And he said, what about a program featuring white men teaching black men financial basics, fiscal basics? And I said to him, let me have it, because I like it. And together with Drew Munyon and a very dear friend of mine, Ralph Sandra, and we worked on this.
All right, now this is a touchy area, a show about white guys teaching black guys financial basics.
It's a very explosive area, there's no doubt. But Phil, 3 years ago, if you would have walked into my office, my beautiful new office there on Doheny and Sunset, and said, I have an idea about gay men teaching straight men how to groom themselves and buy shirts and decorate their apartments, I would have thrown you right through the window out onto Sunset Boulevard. I mean, the fact of the matter is, we have reached a point where these shows are needed. The audiences love them. The interaction is wild. And let me tell you something else. The reality show is here to stay. It is desirable from a budget standpoint and can stand on its own for a very long time.
Well, I can't imagine viewers tuning. What do you call this thing, by the way?
Well, we're playing with a lot of titles, but the working title right now is White Eye for a Black Guy.
At White Eye for a Black Guy.
Yes.
And they're going to tune into this and see a white guy showing black guys what?
How to balance a checkbook, how to purchase a car without a cosigner, how to get a home loan without getting blue-lined by a bank, or even just a simple task of how to get credit. Now, this is not to say that some black men don't know how to do this already.
All right, because this is a a racial stereotype, isn't it?
Well, you can call it a racial stereotype, or you can say what the very brave and bold producers on Queer Eye for a Straight Guy said. There are certain things that straight guys don't know how to do. Let's help them with this. And I'm sure there are straight men who know how to groom themselves, but we recognize there is a need, and it can be entertaining. And there's another upside. As the result of Queer Eye, we have a new class of men called metrosexuals. And with the result of White Eye for a Black Eye, we can create a new class of African-American men who are completely at ease writing checks, balancing books, leasing a car, and even saving money. And again, this is not to say that many black men don't know how to do this already. If this is a hit, it could potentially change the economy and the way that we view African-American men and their ability to deal with financial matters.
All right, Tony Neal joins us. The idea based upon Queer Eye for a Straight Guy, White Eye for Black Eye. That's a working title, though.
We don't have a title for it, but the working title, White Eye, the idea that we can all learn from each other.
Now, all right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Isn't this idea that African-American men don't know how to handle money, isn't this a racial stereotype?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know that black people have had a very difficult time moving themselves up in our society, to the extent that it is the result of them not being able to deal with money in a sensible way. Our program, as Queer Eye did for the straight man, and that is to teach him that you can groom yourself and look good, and it doesn't mean that you're necessarily a homosexual, that the black man can learn how to do simple things like add 2 plus 2 and just be able to write a check for the plumber, for instance, and know how to fill in the spaces there on the check, etc. Now, if you're asking me, is this racist?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are going to say that it is. A lot of people are going to say...
Well, I don't think that you can call it racist any more than you can say that it is heterophobic that the Queer Eye for Straight Guy teaches straight guys how to dress. Now, I don't see anything racist in that, but I do see a 30 share in the summer, and rolling it out in the summer and momentum to carry it through the baseball playoffs, the fall sweeps. And
what's to stop a guy from putting a show on, for instance, featuring black men teaching white men how to dance and make love to a woman?
Well, I don't see an audience for that. I just don't see...
But isn't that a racial stereotype?
It may well be. I understand that what we're doing is bold. I understand that what we're doing is risky. But I also understand that it's wonderful if the audience is rooting for the black man to achieve, just as they did rooting for the straight man to achieve. And the audience is saying, I'm rooting for instance, this week, if our black guy is, you know, Ralph or Joe or whoever. And this week we're teaching him how to walk into a bank and open up a checking account. Can he do it? Will he be able to do it? Does he understand how to fill out the forms and this kind of thing? And
isn't that, it's just, for some reason, it sounds demeaning.
Well, but it's no less or more demeaning than teaching a straight guy how to shampoo his hair or paint his apartment, things that any man should be able to know. You see, what we're doing with White Eye for a Black Guy is we're breaking down yet another barrier. To watch this man for 22 minutes of television actually get this account is marvelous. And in the first episode, where we take him through the bank, we show him the forms to open up a checking account. We tell him which teller to go to. Don't go to the one that is for business accounts. Go over to this one. And then when the lady gives you the receipt, put it in and hold on to that. And you don't need to necessarily buy a car with three other guys. You can lease a car. And
every racial stereotype you're talking about.
Again, it's an explosive show.
I mean, learn how to buy a car by yourself and not with three other guys. Isn't that one of those antiquated racial notions that...
To whatever extent it's true, White Eye for the Black Guy is going to try it. Let me tell you, I understand entirely what you're talking about. And I know we're in very explosive territory, but great television is made when you attempt to break these barriers and to challenge the audience's perception, and at the same time give them something very entertaining. And our first and second episode shows our young man talking to his roommates and explaining to them that they're not going to share a Mercedes any longer. He wants to go out and lease one on his own, which means he's going to have to get a better job. And so it leads to...
So now we have the stereotype of three guys sharing an apartment and buying and sharing a Mercedes. You know, like, what, Tuesday's his day, that kind of thing?
Well, you know...
Is this... I mean, you found an apartment full of black guys who share a Mercedes.
No, we didn't find that. We, for theatrical purposes, we create that scenario. But everything else is absolutely...
All right, so for theatrical purposes, you create a room full of black guys who share a Mercedes.
Absolutely. But that is a theatrical device that is used by every reality program, and that's not anything. So I think you're missing the point. The American audience are evolving into acceptance of controversial shows. White Eye for a Black Guy will be accepted.
Do you think black people will watch it?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
I think it's not only is it educational, I think it's a bonding moment between whites and blacks, if nothing else. And I think there's some valuable information to be gleaned. We've had... canvassed a few black communities. They said, well, we would love to know, and if could you deal with this on your program, how is it that we can go out, for instance, and get a blockbuster card? For a lot of blacks, this is a...
For a lot of blacks, they don't know how to get a blockbuster card.
It's tough. Filling out the forms and telling the truth and...
See, this is what I'm saying. Are you telling me that you've got black people that lie and share Lexuses, or is that a theatrical device?
It is a theatrical device to further the point of teaching them...
So there are no black people that you've ever met that don't know how to get a blockbuster card or share a Lexus and live five to a room?
No. But ask Mark Burnett at Survivor. Ask some of the more successful reality show producers. They'll tell you that you create sort of an ambiance, and from there you take off like a rocket. So we created this scenario. I imagine there's got to be people like, that live like that who, today is Tuesday, it's my day for the Lexus, and I'm filling out a form for a blockbuster card and ask me, for instance, have I been in jail? Are you going to tell the truth? No, of course you aren't.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Tony Neal with a program called White Eye for the Black Guy, based upon the inspiration of Queer Eye for a Straight Guy, where Queer Eye shows gay men showing straight men how to groom themselves and appoint their apartments. White Eye for a Straight Guy, White Eye for a Black Guy is going to show white guys teaching black guys how to open up checking accounts and balance checkbooks. To me, a lot of this sounds like negative racial stereotyping. To Mr. Neal, it is a moment of bonding between the races that breaks down barriers. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800, what'd you say, Tony?
There is a blemish, if there is still a blemish on our society, what I wanted to say, Phil, when whites abuse the blacks, there is a chance for whites to help them now, and not only entertain, but erase that blemish. I think it's the least that white people can do to help black people, for instance, buy groceries and keep the receipt, as opposed to throwing it away. These are basic financial, fiscal realities.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Personally, I think it's just a stereotype to think, you know, black folks don't know how to handle money. Or is it? 1-800-449-8686. The show, the working title, White Eye for a Black Guy. Mr. Tony Neal, the executive producer on The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The soul of America. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With me is Tony Neal. He's a producer who's come up with White Eye for a Black Guy. And I realize it's a working title, Tony. It's based on Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. Instead of having gay guys teach straight guys how to dress, this is white guys teaching black guys how to balance checkbooks and save receipts and fiscal things. Can I ask you something? You at an auction?
I am at an auction right now, Phil. A very dear friend of ours, Bill Mancini, died, and my partner and I are here, and we're just picking up some of there's some furniture and some things we're getting for our home.
All right, now, White Eye for a Black Guy is about white guys teaching black guys.
Really, it's just about how we can break down, about how we can help each other. If gays can help straights, why can't whites help blacks? And
so this is the area. Learn how to balance a checkbook and how to figure out how to fill in the decimal points on a check.
And for instance, I'll give you an example. In the fifth episode that we've got a storyboard for, actually what we've done is we've given a story arc to the different episodes that when we present this to a network. In episode five, one of our black contestants gets into a fender bender in rush hour traffic, and watching the two white guys explain to our black guy how to get insurance information is wild. It's just wild. You know, his instinct is to get in the car and run, and they say, no, you'll have to stay, and this kind of thing.
Do you have this on film?
No, we don't. This is just what we'd like to get on film.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 with Tony Neal. Let me go to a phone call here. Hillary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Tony. I'm not sure that I understand what your point is here, exactly how this is humorous.
Well, have you seen Queer Eye for a Straight Guy?
No, yes, I have seen Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
It's exactly the same thing, only
it's
put
not
the white
exactly
man,
the same thing.
Put the white
the
man where the queer
the
is,
guy.
And put the black guy where the straight guy is, and you have the show.
No, the Queer Eye for the Straight
well, I think
Guy
I know
is where
my
you're
own
taking,
show.
And I'm what I'm telling you is my opinion, and where you're taking
well,
this
I think I understand
is,
the premise of my own show. And
well, let the lady give you her opinion of it.
Oh, I
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, Tony, if I may, I've had the opportunity
certainly
to listen
no.
to you, so hear what I have to say. Queer Eye for the
certainly.
Straight Guy, you're taking the underdog and examining a sweeping generality that gay men have inherently a better sense of style. Layering that on top of a sweeping generality that straight men do not.
Yes.
No one's questioning anyone's intelligence. It is simply funny. But to flip that
well,
around,
they're
and to
questioning
white
their
men,
ability to groom themselves and appoint their apartment. Right? I would hardly disagree that that's not questioning intelligence.
It's,
I think
it's
it most
totally
certainly is. And
it's totally superficial, though. But when you take
well,
white men
I
who are inherently in a position
there.
Of power, hear what I'm saying.
Are you a lesbian?
White men.
Are you a lesbian?
What difference does that make?
So is it, I'm going to assume that's a yes.
I don't have to answer your question, and that's
well,
totally
I'm
beside the point.
I'm assuming it's a yes.
Well, what
well,
does it matter?
You can make the assumptions that you choose.
Because
what
I think
I'm saying
she
is,
has an agenda defending the gay, as opposed to understanding what we're trying to do here on our program.
No, actually,
which is to
my
show
platform.
A black man how to open up a Blockbuster account.
You're assuming that they're unintelligent. White men are inherently in a position of power, and you're taking this totally condescending approach and saying, well, white men now need to take it upon
well,
themselves
I don't. See,
to help
every
the
word
poor little
speak,
black man who can't balance his checkbook or get a Blockbuster card.
Well, I don't think
how
that bespeaks
that
intelligence. That bespeaks experience, and every word you speak firmly entrenches you in the lesbian camp, and I would say that
well, why are you saying that?
Well, all of the white men have the power and all of this nonsense. We're not. Our season finale, we're hoping to have a group of white men take a group of our black guys and teach them how to buy and send drinks over to a group of lovely young ladies in a nightclub.
I just, my point is, Tony, that I do not understand what the correlation is between these two or how you think that your show is funny or entertaining.
Well,
I don't think that the African-American male audience will want for to sit back and watch white men tell them what to do about anything, quite frankly.
Well, that's based upon opinion, but not practical experience. Now, in our
yeah, but you haven't had any experience. You're dumbing up all this stuff. You're saying a bunch of black guys are sharing the Mercedes.
But you know it happens.
Like
so,
you do. You said, your exact words were something to the effect that I believe that this happens, or I think that this
and
goes on.
Liberal.
Where are your facts?
How would you feel about a show having a black woman teaching white women like you how to make love to a man properly? Would you be offended, or would you be willing to watch that?
About black women teaching white women like me how to make love to men effectively?
Yes.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think that that would be funnier than what you've positioned.
Well,
I'm not sure that I would still choose to watch that show, but I...
Well, being a lesbian, you might not, but...
The lady has never indicated that she's a lesbian.
Well, okay. Whatever you say.
Tony, you can make assumptions that you whatever you want to
all
about
right.
my sexuality. The
okay.
issue has nothing to do with my sexuality.
Okay, Hillary, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Aldon, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I was wondering, how is it that you manufacture these stereotypes in the name of entertainment just to say that these are these able-bodied white men helping these black guys get along in life.
I'm not sure I understand your question, but what we're trying to do is break down the barriers. If you've got a black guy who is trying to run from an accident scene because he doesn't have insurance...
Yeah, well, wait a minute. Have you seen that?
How many black people have you seen do this? How many black people do you know that live in a house full of other guys that share a car? Honestly,
well,
be honest with yourself.
Can't we assume?
Why would you assume and present this to America in this format as if it is the truth? Because the fact is, nobody watching this show is going to assume that this is an assumption. They're
going to
take your word as...
If you've watched Cops, you get a very good working knowledge of the...
Watched Cops. Is this the research you're doing?
Cops is a reality show.
Right.
You are manufacturing lies and giving them to the American public
as if this is
the way all black men live.
Well, I never anticipated a response like this, Phil. We're trying to break down the barriers.
Yeah, well, you're making up... Hold on for a minute, sir. You're making up... Yeah, and a bunch of guys, they share the Mercedes. 1-800-449-8686. Wide eye for the black guy. Teaching black guys how to balance a checkbook. Tony Neal is on of The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertainment. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, the reaction we're getting, Tony Neal is with us, a producer of a new show called... It's not even on the air, is it?
It's not on the air. We've gotten some very strong interest from different cable companies. I'm constrained to say which ones, but different cable channels, I should say. But I think we have a program, White Eye for the Black Guy, that is going to prove to be a groundbreaker. And Phil, frankly...
You've got an episode here where you teach the black guy... that the Kobe Bryant approach, which is, hi, my name's Kobe, would you like to have sex, is wrong.
I think yes. What is your question?
So you assume every black man approaches a white woman that way?
No, I don't assume every... white woman?
Well, every black man approaches a woman that way.
Well, no, any more than I assume that every straight guy doesn't know how to groom himself, but...
I'm sure out there somewhere. See, this is what you're doing. You're manufacturing...
Now, Phil, if you've ever watched True Stories of the Highway Patrol, they've had a number of scenarios where a man will say, hello, my name is so-and-so, would you like to have sex?
A black man?
I'm sorry?
A black man.
It's a man, but it could very well be a black man doing that. I think what you're doing is you're trying to discredit this before, and had I known this, I would not have agreed to come on this program. I think you're trying to discredit this before it comes on the air.
Mr. Neal, what I'm doing is I'm questioning the motivation behind this show. Is it truly one that'll break down barriers, or are you getting a couple of giggles off of some racial stereotypes? Here is Gene on the Phil Hendry Show.
I can assure you that it is not the latter.
Gene, go ahead.
Yes, Neil, why do you feel that a black man can't balance a checkbook, man? Come on, it's, get with it. I mean, who do you think can sit there and watch you try to stereotype a group of people?
Who would think that a straight man doesn't know how to use hair mousse? But yet, we have clear eyes for the straight guy. So, what I'm trying to do is, to the extent that there are black men who would need a cosigner to purchase a bicycle, for instance... that we can educate...
A co-signer to purchase a bicycle.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
Okay,
I'm not saying this is you. You sound like a very self-possessed man. And
I mean, why do you think a black person need any help from a white man?
Do you own your own home?
Yes, I do.
All right.
I have a bank account.
And no one...
I have a stockbroker.
And no one co-signed for the home?
Co-sign anything for me.
All right, so you're unique in the...
How do you know that he's unique? I mean...
Okay.
But we're pretty sure... Gene, we are very excited about the possibility of being nominated for an Essence Award, and I'm sure you understand that the Essence Awards are one of the highest accolades given by the African-American entertainment community.
Okay, I'm a black American, I don't agree with everything they put on air.
But this is based on an episode where we teach a young black man how to calmly question a supermarket cashier who overcharged him without using violence. And I think it's going to be very impressive.
Without using violence?
Yes. I mean, what is it with you guys all of a sudden, oh, you're such a bad guy, and you sit there and roar when you see these fags teach, I mean, not fag, but these gay guys teach straight guys how to paint a wall.
I mean, you know, I really, what sex has to do with what you were talking about, how a black man know how to fill out a checkbook?
What does sex have to do with how a black man fills out a checkbook?
Right.
I would assume if you're paying for instance, a young lady, then...
Oh, come on, Mr. Neal.
Well, he asked me the question. And they don't take checks, as far as I know, but that's... I'm just being funny.
Yeah, who pay with a check now?
Exactly. Okay. Who does pay with a check? So these are the things that I'm... Are you listening to the radio in the other room?
No, I'm not.
All right, what is that? Do you have the horse racing on in the background? I think I hear Trevor Denman going, and you can take your money at the window? Is that... I must be listening to something else.
There's some
back... someone up. I had radio cut off.
Okay.
Radio's
cut off.
What's the point? I mean...
Gene, which line on the check do you sign your name, left or right?
What you said now?
Which line on the check do you sign your name, the left or the right check? The left or the right line?
When I fill out, write a check?
Yes.
On the right side?
No. See, the line is on the left. See?
Okay.
So you don't know how to...
Wait a minute. It's on the left. It's on the right side. Gene's right.
Not on my checkbook, it isn't.
Wouldn't
you be proud watching television, seeing a young African-American man proudly making change for a dollar for the first time? This is what
that might be the first time he had a job.
Yeah.
To get to make change. What's the big deal?
Gene, you know what? You're a working man, and this Mr. Neal is an entertainer. And you know what? There's a world of difference between guys like Gene and I and you.
Oh, guys like Gene and I, huh? Mr. Henry, you're in the entertainment business.
Well, sir, I am not in the TV producing business. And the idea of coming up with a show, and aren't we going to be proud when we show a black man questioning a supermarket cashier without using violence?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to get myself an Essence Award.
Well, what, are you going to sneeze at an Essence Award? I haven't gotten an Emmy, an Oscar, nothing.
I can see why.
Well, that's insulting. So you've just... Boy, that hurts.
I mean, just... Well,
you're very soft-spoken, but when you say something, it really cuts me like a knife, and that's what... I'm confused by that. You're very soft-spoken, you're very gentlemanly, and then you say,
I'm not going to get on
argument. And that was like sticking a shank right through my heart.
Hey, I'm not going to get on argument talk radio with you. I want to know... This day and time, want to know why you think you need to help a black man to know how to fill out a checkbook.
I don't think that we've had an answer to that yet, Gene. I thank you for your call.
I think I've answered it very, very clearly.
Well, you've said it. Well, I imagine that they need the help. 1-800-449-8686. CJ, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Tony Neal.
Yes, I'm wondering why you're going to have somebody come out with a racist premise as this. And that's basically, that's all. Yeah, it is a racist premise for you
getting...
to try and teach black men.
Well, look, how do you know in your life, haven't you ever shared a Cadillac?
This is one of those stereotypes, Mr. Neal, that nobody knows if it ever existed. It's one of those white stereotypes.
Well, I'm just asking him.
No, I haven't owned a Cadillac. I haven't been interested in a Cadillac. All blacks aren't interested in Cadillacs.
Well, then how come I don't get it then. I see black guys driving Cadillacs.
Would you think that's supposed to, a Cadillac is supposed to be the image of what a black person wants? You don't know anything about being black.
I've been
black all my life for 43 years. You haven't a clue as to what it is to be black.
But I well imagine when a black man approaches a young lady, he might say something like, can I buy you a wine in a dark bar, and then would you like to have sex?
No, he doesn't.
Well, isn't that what Kobe Bryant did?
I'm not Kobe Bryant. All the black men in America aren't Kobe Bryant.
Now, you look at that Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. That program's making some serious cabbage based upon some gay guys telling a straight guy how to do his fly-up.
I don't watch that.
Can you believe that?
I could care less about that show. That show is absurd to me.
Really?
That's even sicker than this idea, probably.
When's the last time you got a laugh out of anything, CJ?
Oh, it's one thing to get a laugh out of a show, but to stir up racism... There are several other ways. You want to stir up racism. There are several ways of you to do that.
You know who I met the other day?
Way that you're trying to do.
How about Happy, what was that thing, Phil?
What?
Good Times.
That was a racist show for
his
parents.
Oh, my God. You know what I'm hearing in the background is that auction you're at, Mr. Neal?
Yes, I'm here with my partner.
Your partner? Are you gay?
That's none of your business.
Must be.
Oh, you got a problem with that, CJ? Aha, a black guy who hates gays. Now, that's a program that we could do. In fact, Queer Eye for a Black Guy, where the gay guy teaches the black guy how to conk his hair properly.
You know something? Now I get it. You are just an out-and-out racist.
No, I am not, sir.
What do you mean, teaches him how to conk his hair?
See, he has it all for himself right there. He comes up with more racist statements. He hasn't a clue as to what blacks are.
Then how come
we're talking? You should put your picture on your show so blacks will know what you look like.
We're talking to Denzel.
And then we'll see what your real response is.
Well, we're trying to talk to Denzel Washington's people right now to have him guest star as a bank loan officer.
You're really trying to be insulting. I'm sure you haven't talked to Denzel at all. If you're with the garbage you're coming up with here, you could not have possibly talked with Denzel.
You sound very angry, and you might
sound very ignorant.
Are you
and racist?
I would be very upset.
And stupid.
I'd be afraid to see you approach the door of my car.
Well, I'd really like to see you put your picture on your show if you come out with it. That's all you need.
Have
to
you
do.
Ever jacked?
If you honestly think you know anything about blacks or
could
black
you leave
people,
number
you put your picture on the show so every black person knows what type of racist.
Well,
you're
I'd like to
you
have
are.
You on our program to show you how to get a couple of laughs, and what we'll do.
Well, maybe you need to find out somebody else to offend. If you want to offend people, why don't you offend your faggot friend?
I have to tell you that I enjoyed you playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Mr. Sapp. Sorry you're out of a job. But
what do you mean, Mr. Sapp?
This is Warren Sapp.
All right, CJ, thank you for your call.
It would have been WS.
Yeah, I know, Warren Sapp.
So, CJ, that's Cal Johnson. I don't know of anyone by that name.
Jennifer, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Our final call for Tony Neal.
Okay, yes. Tony, I don't understand how you can make these assumptions about the black man, not knowing how to go into a bank and write a check. I mean, can't you make the same assumption about a white man or a Mexican man? Or, an Asian? I mean, how can you make these assumptions and say that they're accurate? You have no proof, no reference, nothing.
Well, ma'am, I've watched Emergency 911.
And you think that that's accurate research? I mean, have you done any research, any scientific proof whatsoever that
well, there's an interesting study. There's an interesting study being done right now at MIT, and they've been able to synthesize the actual instant when the African American turned away from the Cadillac and was more interested.
Would you get out of here with this?
I don't understand.
What do you mean they synthesized?
How that's even relevant? How is that even relevant? I mean, what you're saying right now, what your show, your whole basis of your show
right, let me
is
ask
saying
you,
that the black man is stupider than the white man. That's what you're saying, that the black man is incapable.
I'd say, are you black?
No, I'm not black.
Well, then in your case, I'd say that it's the reverse. But
Oh, that's really funny, man. I got that.
So you're saying, I have a degree. I'm in grad school. I would not say that.
You have a degree?
Yes. And just you have
got a temperature
no basis.
What you
and
got. Let me guess. You're blonde. That's just that was uncalled for. I would
what
say
the color
Jennifer,
of my hair? What the color of my hair? What I
you're either
like
a blonde or
know.
A redhead, and I can tell you the redheads I've known. Oh my God! You know, give
that
them a quarter
nothing,
and they put it in a
that has
machine.
Nothing to do with what you're talking about. Let's get back to the point and get back to the subject of you
look,
saying.
Look, have you ever heard of the show Punked? I'd like you to look through your kitchen window right now. We have you on camera. You know what? Jennifer,
This isn't about me.
All
this
right.
conversation is not about me. It's
exactly.
about you and about your show.
Jennifer,
and
you've been
your
punked.
Show.
And I'm Ashton Kutcher. Or Kutcher. Oh, or, you know.
You don't even know how to pronounce it. This
Kutcher,
isn't about, this
Kutcher,
isn't about me. This is about you and
Michener,
your show.
James Michener. Hello, I'm James Michener, and you've been punked.
Demeaning to black men.
Yes, I
your
mean, the demeaning aspect,
demeaning.
It's demeaning.
Do you understand that?
Say that word again. It's what?
Demeaning.
Demeaning? Well, demeaning
yes.
is, it's just fun. That's demeaning. But you can read any meaning into what you want. See, that's another
well,
joke.
You're making
boy.
Fun of the black man, and you're
well,
saying
I,
that the black
Mr.
man
Neal,
is
isn't
more
it true
stupid.
That, isn't it true, Mr. Neal, you're just one of these producers that runs around looking to rip off somebody's idea, and this show is about as about as worthy as that Beverly Hillbillies reality show.
Well, that was my idea, too.
Yeah, congratulations. That didn't get on the air either.
Right, your show is so far.
Are you guys trying to tell
reality.
Me my show? Does it suck?
Yeah, I would not watch. I would be so offended. I would protest your show.
Well, Jennifer, I'd like you to know I'm Richie Cunningham, and you've been punked.
Oh, funny.
He hung up.
Funny.
All right, Jennifer.
All right.
He's an imbecile.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree.
But so are you. No, you're not. You're very sweet. I'm Richie Cunningham, and you've been punked. That's Tony Neal with Wide Eye for a Black Guy. How to open up a Blockbuster account. 1-800-449-8686. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, we got a little trip around the world of news. A report claims that a group associating itself with the train bombing in Madrid has now called a truce with Spain because they've got the proper government in place. Well, good. So all you Spanish guys can rest easy by voting out that bad old PM and voting in the new one. This militant group is going to, you know, they're going to maybe bide their time before they blow something else up in your country because you're doing their bidding. Oh, my God. This is worse than Hop Sing with Dan Blocker. Jeez. Spain. Yard boy for Al-Qaeda. Nice going. They have claimed a truce. Now, there's counterterrorism guys who say, well, this isn't the group that did it, and they couldn't possibly do it. But the fact of the matter remains, it's a... Boy, it's a low point for civilization when you get a pat on the head from murderers for having the right kind of government. So you know what? We're not going to attack you now. NBA has fined Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban, the guy that we had on our show, boy, I took more heat for that interview. I couldn't believe it when I had that guy on my show and I told him that I thought he was a motor mouth, an ego case, and making the story bigger than, making himself bigger than the story. And on top of everything else, saying that the Kobe Bryant arrest would make that Maverick Laker game a big, big rating. Hey, maybe the guy's right. But you know what people don't understand? They don't understand that when Cuban said that the Laker-Maverick game would get big ratings because of Kobe Bryant, he's basically calling basketball fans utter and complete morons. But I guess they don't care. Anyway, Cuban got fined again, this time for saying he would pay the fines for any players who were accused of using a ball swipe technique, which allows a player to create more space from a defender. It's a technique that is, I guess, illegal. He said he'd pay the fine, so the NBA fined him. Cuban, you ain't the reason why people go out to see the games. Or maybe they do in Dallas. I talked to my good friend Craig Taylor, who's living in Dallas. He has almost died twice from boredom. He's been rushed to the hospital twice with severe boredom. And it was only through the great efforts of the people there in Dallas at the hospital that he was saved. Otherwise, he was going to dehydrate from the tears he was shedding over the utter boredom that he is living through in that town. If it wasn't for the fact that you got some pretty good-looking women there, there would be no use for Dallas other than as a pit stop and a way to wherever. I think you know how I feel now. I was in Dallas once, and I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I don't get it. I went there, I was with Foreigner. You remember the rock band Foreigner? I was there for a radio broadcast, hanging out with those slobs. Boy, you talk about guys that thought that their stuff didn't smell. Foreigner. I didn't have the heart to tell them their band sucked because they were paying me. But, oh, God. I couldn't get out of that town fast enough. They couldn't kick me out of town fast enough. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has inducted a whole bunch of clowns. And if you want to know why rock and roll is dead, the very reason that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame exists probably is an indication. They've institutionalized rock and roll. That kills it. Don't you understand? You can't have tuxedos inducting guys in the Hall of Fame and then say, we're really revolutionary, as old men dodder up to the podium to get their Hall of Fame plaque. That's why baseball sucks. Starbucks has a music cafe now. Got an idea for you guys at Starbucks, you cheap creeps. Why don't you hire more people so we don't have to stand in line 6 hours waiting for one of your funky lattes, okay? There's an idea. Music cafe. Just let me get my coffee and get out of there. but I guess that ain't going to happen. Finally, CBS has a 10-second delay on the Final Four. Oh, goody, in case somebody, what, pulls his pants down? Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous.